Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome everyone to episode 13 of the Weekly Planet.
Ooh, unlucky 13.
Unlucky for some.
Us?
Yes.
We're getting cancelled.
Can we get cancelled? I guess we can.
Yeah. Let's not worry about it.
No. My name is James, junior editor and comic book movie. You may know me as Mr. Sunday. Joining me as always is my co-host, Nick Chip Danger Cock Mason.
Not my real nickname. Hello. Hello, James. Nice to be here. Hello, listeners.
Wow, what a week it's been.
You know what? It's our very special Christmas episode.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Should we do anything? I do love... See, do you love Christmas?
No.
I don't love Christmas either, but I do love very special Christmas episodes of things. Like, the more incongruous, the better. Like, I like it when it'll be like CSI Miami or something like that. Something where there's, like, horrific murders... And awful, but there's also the magic of Christmas. Like, you know, a dozen mall Santas will be murdered or whatever, and they'll be laid out on slabs or whatever, and they'll have to find the killer or whatever. But at the end of the episode, it all loops around, and one of the characters is like, but wait a second, if that Santa was locked up all night in the jail... Who ate the milk and cookies off the show? And then they run to the window or whatever, and you just hear, ho, 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 and like, sleigh bells jingling. And the implication is, in this world of horrific murder, that Santa is real. I enjoy that. So anyway, hopefully.
So Merry Christmas.
We'll have some Christmas magic in this, I think.
Look, I don't hate Christmas, to be fair. I don't like a lot of the build-up, and that thing you just said there is amazing.
It is, isn't it?
But yeah. Who wants to hang out with people?
Ugh.
Gross. I'd
rather be in this weird... completely empty room. Nothing on the walls. No natural light. It's great.
Why would
staying here.
Yeah. There's been a lot of stories this week, comic book and movie related. New trailers, shenanigans afoot.
Uh-huh.
You're Shia LaBeouf, we gotta talk about that, right?
Absolutely we do.
What?
What a silly Billy. What a bit of a goose, mate.
So it started basically he made the short film, which I cannot remember the name of.
Doesn't matter.
Which I have not seen because it got taken down.
It did. It was up and then it became password protected and then it disappeared.
Yeah.
So...
And he played at a few film festivals last year and it played super well. People were like, this kid...
Because it was really well written.
You know, this kid's a genius, bloody blah. Within, hours of it going online, though, the comparison was drawn between that and what was the comic book called? Remember off the top of my head. Should have written it down. This is why I write everything down.
But anyway, it's a Daniel Clowes comic book.
Yeah,
who is probably best known to mainstream audiences as the guy who wrote Ghost World, which became the film with Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. So great writer, and why wouldn't you steal his work verbatim for a film and not attribute it?
What kind of apology is that though as well? First of all, the apology was plagiarized.
Yeah, that's right?
Which is baffling. But like, it's things, I've got a little bit of it here, and it's things like,
there's so many, that's the problem.
So many. It was like, I owe it to future generations, you know, to explain my actions. Like, what has that even got to do with anything? Like, just admit fault, shut up,
yeah.
credit him, I don't know, take it down, give him some money, do whatever. Don't plagiarise a number of different people.
Just shut your mouth. Delete your... Yeah, like apparently there's a... He plagiarised the apology of Shepard Fairey, who made that Obama Hope poster.
Yep.
And he copied the initial image to Photoshop over the top, and he apologised, and Shia LaBeouf's taken that one. There's like a Mark Zuckerberg apology that he... What? It's bizarre. And like...
He also took one from like a random post on the internet. The one that's copyright isn't particularly creative work. Being inspired by someone else's work to produce something new and different is creative work, which he stole.
Yeah.
Also, that's bullshit, that quote. You've just stolen something and pretty much done it word for word. That's not creative in any sense.
It's the opposite of that.
Yes.
And there's even like this incredible... It sounds like he's got a problem.
Sorry, Justin,
like,
Mike, go on.
Like, as opposed to, like, he did this because he wanted to make money or anything like that, like, you might actually have some sort of issue, like...
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, there's even... there's one here where if you go to his website, which is called Campaign Book, the About page has been copied verbatim from another website called Picture Box. Why is Picture Box? Because I love the things I love and I want to champion them. I tend towards outliers, and I'm obsessed with the history of visual culture writ large and small. His Shire. Why the Campaign Book? Because I love the things I love, and I want to champion them. I tend towards outliers, and I'm obsessed with the history of visual culture writ large and small, etc. It's a long paragraph, and it's verbatim. It's bizarre. Anyway,
there's something going on there. Do you think it's some kind of weird star thing where you think you're untouchable, or is he just crazy?
I mean, it might be a coincidence.
It could be a massive coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean. An infinite number of monkeys and an infinite number of typewriters might eventually write the complete works of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Potentially that's the thing here. Yeah. I mean, he's rich. He probably has a lot of monkeys.
I'm sure he does, yes.
Hey, let's talk about monkeys. Perfect segue. Didn't even think about it.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes has a trailer. I wanted to yell about Shia LaBeouf a bit more. But
okay,
really,
go back.
What's to be said, though, really? Yeah, what a dickhead.
Yeah, I know.
And right? I hope he gets less work than ever.
Well, I mean, that's sort of... That's... He was Hollywood's it guy for a while.
Which always baffled me.
It's baffling, but I think the idea is that certain people get hired for a role, and then all the other film production houses go, this guy is something.
Yeah.
These people have taken a chance. He must be the next it guy. We should all
do it.
Give him a role now. Yeah. So when he hits big, you know, we've got him on the, you know.
And if he's doing 3 or 4 movies a year over 3 years, that's a lot of work.
But then, of course, that sort of rolls around and people go, actually, he's not
that
charismatic or interesting. Yeah. So let's, and then it sort of dried up. I call it Sam Worthington syndrome.
I was going to say, that's very Sam Worthington, isn't it?
Yep.
He was in everything.
Yep.
Yeah. But Rise of the Planet, sorry, not Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes got a teaser sequel, teaser trailer this week.
Yep.
Well, it got a teaser for the teaser, and then it got the teaser trailer.
Great.
It's a sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which is a prequel / reboot to the hilarious Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
That movie is so unintentionally funny.
Correct.
Really good. Did you enjoy the first one, Rot Potter? I believe the acronym is.
I haven't seen Rot Potter.
Really?
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good.
Yep.
It's, you know, solid cast, but not really that inspired. You know, James Franco's kind of dead-eyed, really kind of strangely monotone performance, I guess.
It's one of his art performances. Yeah. I think it may have been one of the ones where he has gone into a mainstream film as an artistic goof. You know what he's like.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
But yeah, I haven't seen it. But he doesn't appear to be in this.
No,
new one.
Well, I think
replaced with Gary Oldman.
Replaced with, really? Oh no, there is Gary Oldman. There's another lead guy.
Uh huh.
Gary Oldman's, I think, is like the leader of a human resistance or some kind of human leader. Mm. I think it said in the synopsis that James Franco, the reason he's not in it, is because he's dead. He actually supposedly died between the movies.
Right.
I'm assuming he flew his weird snowboard glider into the side of a building.
No,
it doesn't say why he's dead. I think it was the virus got him that got unleashed at the end of the first one. Because the human population is decimated. They've been fighting the virus for 4 years, fighting each other for 4 years. There's an uneasy truce between the humans and the apes, and that truce is about to be broken.
Ooh.
So yeah, I'm really excited for it. For a reboot to a series, you know, that got a reboot in 2001 with Tim Burton It's Planet of
That's
the
true,
Apes.
Yeah. Yeah, take three, this is.
God, the apes in that, though, look incredible. There are some bits where, you know, they're jumping around, they look a little fake, but the facial expressions and a lot of, like, Caesar.
Would you say they're better or worse than the monkeys in Indiana Jones 4? Starring Shia LaBeouf. We did it again. We segued again. It's like an episode of Seinfeld in here. Everything's coming together. Great.
Oh, they're about the same. Right. No, they're infinitely better.
Okay,
what's the guy who did that Wedder did it, you know, did Avatar, Gollum, all that kind of stuff. All the good stuff, all the stuff the kids love.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it's gonna be great. Then again, maybe it won't be, who knows? It's got what's his name? I think his name's Jason Clarke. I might have got that wrong. He's from Zero Dark 30. He's a big not upcoming, he's been around for a while, he's like 44. But he's apparently, I think we talked about this last week, John Connor.
Yep.
He's up for John Connor. Planet of the Apes is in. There's a bunch of other stuff that he's the it guy.
He's the Shia LaBeouf / Sam Worthington of 2013/14.
Yeah, but I think infinitely better.
Fantastic.
And he's not a traditionally handsome man either. He kind of looks like a regular guy, which I like also.
Huh. Mm. There you go.
Maybe I just like regular guys because I'm also a man of the people. I'd like to talk about Expendables 3.
Okay, let's do that.
Now, the teaser for Expendables 3, which we just watched.
It was a bit... It looked like a P. Diddy video clip. There was a kind of a lot of... Or like a America's Got Talent kind of like a promo thing where they're all sort of walking in silhouette with some spotlights behind them.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Do you think they got them all in the room for that? I doubt it.
Getting
them all... together at the same time.
They look a bit composited.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this still right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right.
I mean, it's pretty good. Uh-huh. I mean, not good, but like it looks like they could have been in the same room.
Having not seen the first two, and that may surprise you.
Well, may surprise you. I haven't seen them either.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you, but I guess we don't know. Is there any moments where they're all on screen together?
You know what? Who cares?
Who cares? That's actually a really good point. Okay, but let's talk about this cast.
Sure.
Some surprises.
You know what, though? I just want to say... They've got the Bridge Over the Kwai, River Kwai theme tune playing. You know that.
Yep. Yep.
I didn't do that very well.
Uh-huh.
Which I took offense to that, but I just went ugh, because I love the Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Uh-huh.
That's a fucking amazing movie.
Yeah.
It's got Alec Guinness from the '60s. It's not exactly historically accurate in any sense because at the end they blow up a bridge, and in real life that bridge was never blown up.
Right. Yep.
That's fine.
Uh-huh.
That movie's amazing, and I just went ugh, don't use that. It'd be like somebody using the Great Escape theme.
But also, that is also, Hitler has only got one ball. It's yeah. That, it's that.
It,
so,
is, it has been used, yeah, it, so, it has been around for longer
so
than
are they going to
yeah.
fight Hitler in this?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to fight Hitler.
I can't remember who the villain
one
is.
One of Hitler's
is.
Kids or something? Great.
Darren Hitler.
Darren Hitler, yeah.
His son. Yeah, I just find that disgusting because I think the Expendables movies are bullshit, quite frankly. Not having seen them. I fell asleep during the first one. But yeah, do you want to talk about the cast?
Well,
you got the picture there.
I've got the picture here. I mean, from what I can tell, there's a couple of changes from the previous one.
Yep.
Antonio Banderas is in this one.
I like him.
It's as fine. Some sort of swashbuckler, presumably.
Swashbuckler.
A swashbuckler, yes. This says Grammar, so I'm going to assume Kelsey Grammar.
It is Kelsey
Grammar.
It
actually is Kelsey
exactly.
Grammar.
I love Kelsey Grammar.
Wait
sure.
a second, is he in this?
I don't think he's in the picture.
No. Yeah.
But no, I know for a fact he is in that. The big names are really, though, well, big names. Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes, out of prison.
Out of prison.
Maybe he's on work release, I don't know. Pay your taxes, everyone.
Pay your goddamn taxes. Mm. Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Racist Mel Gibson.
Yeah. America's own.
Yep.
Mel Gibson, you sure? Yeah. We don't want him.
Nope. Getting his third or fourth chance there. And of course, probably the biggest name.
Harrison. Grumpy old Harrison Ford. Grumpy old Gramps. There he is.
Now, the second Expendables movie, which I haven't seen, but I've seen clips of it. A lot of it is them, like Bruce Willis is in it, who didn't come back for this one because he demanded more money. And Sylvester Stallone threw a fucking shit fit and read on this like Twitter tirade about how Bruce Willis is selfish and blah blah blah.
It's hard to do a Twitter tirade. You don't have a lot of characters.
No,
so
and
it takes a long time.
Even though he is a writer, he's not the brightest man.
Right,
and he seems like a big dickhead. I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah,
but yeah. Apparently, though, it's just a series of catchphrases. So, like, I know somebody says. Who's the big Terry Crews says to Schwarzenegger at one point, give me my gun back or you're terminated.
Right.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger at one point says, I'm back.
So they just switch catchphrases.
Pretty much.
Fantastic.
But I made a bet on my most recent video, because Harrison Ford's wearing a flight suit in it.
Yep.
And if he doesn't say, get off my plane, I'm going to film myself, put a gun in my mouth, and blow the top of my head off.
He might say, get off my plane.
If I'm wrong.
He might say that he can do the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. He might say that.
What's another thing? I'm Amish.
You know what? Stallone might say, I love you, Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford will be like, I know.
It just, I don't know, the whole thing smacks of desperation. And I know the, again,
like retirement funds.
Like retirement funds. I know they're not for me or for you. Even though we like action movies, I think we like things generally a little bit smarter, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know, man. I think I'll see it because I'm doing more videos and stuff and doing this podcast. I'll probably see it.
You're going to force yourself into
it,
great.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see it, but...
Well, that's a ringing endorsement. Just put the... But 20th Century Fox, just put that on the poster. I suppose I'll have to see it because I'm doing more videos on the internet.
Yeah, so there you go.
We got one more trailer?
Yeah, we do. We just watched this one. I wasn't going to talk about it, but... It's pretty interesting.
Transcendence.
Wally Pfister.
Yeah.
Pfister?
Pfister.
Yeah, sure. He was, of course, the...
Pfister. Pfister. I'm going to go with Pfister.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
It rhymes with barista.
You Mediterranean.
It sure is. Wally...
Pfister.
Pfister. Yeah, he's the... cinematographer for a lot of Christopher Nolan's work, Dark Knight movies, Inception, probably a bunch of other stuff.
Well, it certainly looks great.
Sure does.
Johnny Depp, it's interesting to see him in non-Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, it is,
like,
isn't
regular
it?
Clothing, yeah. And doesn't look like Mick Jagger's...
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban.
Keith Richards.
Keith Richardson, yeah.
So, it's his first movie, not Johnny Depp, he's done a couple.
He's done one or two.
Yeah, but it's Wally Pfister's first directorial debut. I love stories about where the human mind...
You need to stop there. I love stories. You know, just a man at a hearth of a fire, just talking about life, you know?
Yeah. But I like stories about...
Sam's worked the shoeshine booth at the Grand Central Station for 45 years. He's got a lot of stories that... No, okay, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Okay.
I was going to say, I like stories where people get their mind uploaded into a computer, or it's about singularity where it gets to the point where
technology
is artificial intelligence is smarter than humans and the implications of that.
Mm.
But I love all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And so I'm excited that this isn't going to be kind of like a Lawnmower Man movie.
I was just going to say, it could be a bit of a Lawnmower Man
like
movie.
It seems like a proper, smart, intelligent...
Yeah.
Kind of.
Can I say though,
piece.
In this trailer, I get the sense. You know how every once in a while you watch a trailer, and then later you realise that they've put the very last scene or the very last frame of the film in the trailer.
Yeah.
I think they might have done this here because they're right at the end of the trailer. This film also has a lot of Iron Man 3
cast. Yeah, it does.
The woman Maya Hansen.
Yep.
From Iron Man 3, Paul Bettany, voice of Jarvis.
Paul
Bettany. How did that happen? Anyway, but. There's a moment in it where Maya Hansen, what's her actual name? Doesn't matter.
I can't remember.
She says, where
Rebecca
are you gonna...
Hall?
Yes, there we go.
She's going to say Rebecca Black.
No.
I nearly did.
Different thing. Different genre.
Sorry, go on.
We're not cutting-edge music reviewers. We're cutting-edge movie reviewers. That's what we do here. But anyway, she says, where are you going to go? And he says, everywhere. And then you see, like, this sort of black dust floating off. I feel that might be he's got some sort of nanotechnology and he's going off to explore the solar system. I think that might be the last thing in the film, and they've given it away. Also, I've got the script here and I've just read it off there. So, spoiler alert, everybody. How do you like that? No, I don't know. But I think that's how it's going to end.
That plays out. Yeah, because it is. Yeah, that does end that way, doesn't it? There's a whole lot of black dust and then it goes vroom,
yep.
And it stops real suddenly.
Yeah. The vroom is the newest thing, I think, in trailers. I think there was some in Gravity, a bit of vroom.
Yeah, there was a bit of vroom. Mm. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that, though.
Yeah. We've got more news?
Do we have more news? Oh, I've got a stack of news.
Yeah, let's talk about news.
A stack of news, mate.
Okay, I'm ready.
The Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yep.
There's been a casting call for someone to fill the role of like a 40-year-old/50-year-old kind of imposing man, and I think it's for Baron Von Strucker, you know, the Hydra agent. Apparently, well, this is the rumor, according to Latino Review, who people say, they never get anything right.
Are you allowed to go to that website. Yeah. You're not Latino.
Oh, I thought you meant because of the comic book movie thing.
No, yeah.
I'm a little bit, didn't you know? I'm not Latino anymore.
Not at all.
Look how white I am.
You're so
you
white.
You can see through me.
I can see, yeah. Anyway.
And he's Baron Von Strucker. Uh-huh. It might be, they say, at the start of the movie where the Avengers kind of deal with him. And that's like the first little kind of introduction to the movie. So they got, you know, a classic-ish kind of Marvel villain, then you lead up to Ultron. So fight a Nazi, fight a robot. That's what I say.
That's absolutely. That is a formula for success. I'm glad they finally pinned it down. Fight a Nazi, fight a robot.
Doug Ray Scott, his name was floated around. You familiar with him?
He was going to be Wolverine at one point,
right?
Is he small and scrappy?
I don't know.
Wish we knew anything about any actors from Hollywood.
I know, right? It'd be nice. So handy for this.
Yeah, it would be great, but why bother?
What made me sad about Doug Ray Scott, he was going to be one of the next big things, and he pulled out of the X-Men for whatever reason. Hugh Jackman ended up getting the role.
Uh-huh.
Then he appeared in Mission Impossible 2, which easily the worst Mission Impossible movie.
He's got a denim three-piece suit on in that film. How did that happen? It's not the 70s, mate.
Australia, though.
Yeah, okay, good point. Continue.
And that's how people perceive this country.
God, that was absolutely the worst. That was...
John Woo's bullshit.
That was the ultimate... Because John Woo's films up until that point had all been great. Good. Pretty good.
Yeah, well, he's foreign films anyway.
Yeah. But that's at that point where they were like, okay, John, every element of what you do, we've put them on a whiteboard. Do them in every scene.
Dubs.
Slow motion, spinning around on motorcycles. Everybody's got a gun in each hand. At one point, there was like four people on screen, and there were 22 guns. Too many guns.
That movie, I remember watching it at the time. Tom Cruise, amazing hair in that movie.
Oh, so good. That was his best hair.
Best hair. Yeah. He bought that hair back for Mission Impossible 3, I think.
Yeah.
Or was it 4?
Might have been 4.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But that's not a good movie. Anyway, what was I saying? I can't remember.
Doug Ray Scott.
Yeah, he was...
Next big thing.
And then
Sam Worthington / Shia LaBeouf.
And then he turned up in Desperate Housewives. Oh, so I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate.
That's embarrassing for him and for you, because you watch Desperate Housewives. Is that show still going?
I think it's cancelled. I don't know.
You know.
It is.
It's great. Cancelled. Okay.
All right.
Get a Wisteria Lane t-shirt on. You silly goose.
I know.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
So there's a bit of X-Men Days of Future Past news.
Okay, great.
Bryan Singer has come out and said there was a sequence in the movie that has Rogue, Iceman, Professor X, and Magneto rescue somebody or something, and that entire sequence has been cut, hence meaning Rogue is not in that movie at all. Anna Paquin, who was the next big Shia LaBeouf at one point.
Yep, Miss Shia LaBeouf, they called her. She got the Miss Shia LaBeouf Award for the piano.
Yeah, so she's not in it anymore. And she's in the trailer, briefly.
Iceman is not in it? I think... cut as well?
Well, apparently she's the only one who's completely cut.
That's a shame.
So, yeah, so she must have only been in that particular sequence. But she was at the Comic-Con panel.
Yep.
I'd say she's a pretty well-known member of the team at this point.
Yeah.
But is it a big loss? And it is also a reminder to you...
Thank you.
...that it's 30% future, 70%
past. Yeah, okay.
That movie.
I would have liked to see more Rogue.
Yeah.
Because at the end of X-Men 3, she's lost her powers.
Yeah.
Does she get them back or not? I guess the answer is yes. But I don't know, that character had sort of an arc where we meet her and then she, you know, finally finds her place in the X-Men family and then she loses her powers. Will she stay in the family? Will she leave with the blah, blah, blah? Doesn't matter. She's out. She's out, mate.
The only thing I didn't really like about that character was, in the comics, doesn't she... When she takes a power, doesn't she keep it a lot of the time?
Well, no, basically she...
Well, she can replicate it or...
No, she keeps the powers for a period of time, sort of depending on how long she touches someone. But she, at some point, you know, many, many years ago, sort of got Ms. Marvel in a death grip for a really long time. And she went into a coma, like a really long-term coma.
Ah.
And as a result, Rogue permanently gained sort of her powers, which is like strength, flight, invulnerability.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So she's got those. Are you saying she should have those in the film?
I'm saying that I don't know that much about X-Men.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, why not? Because really, it's just her running up and grabbing people.
Yep.
Because she could be shot.
Yeah. Well, she didn't really use those powers.
She did in the first one, because that was really the big plot point of that movie.
Yeah.
But she's
never really used them extensively in, like, an offensive capability. So, yeah. It'd be nice to see that work.
Mm. Because I don't think... Yeah, because she's not in the final battle, is she, of X-Men 3? Doesn't she leave?
She does leave, you're right. Yeah.
And they get Kitty Pryde in.
Yep.
One of the most excellent casting decisions in that movie, which is not a good movie. Mm. Kitty Pryde, great choice. Ellen Page. Kelsey Grammer as Beast, also amazing choice.
Kelsey Grammer's an amazing choice for anyone.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah,
what a fucking legend.
Yeah.
Okay, so another piece of news. Casting rumour.
Ooh!
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yep.
The poor man's but alive River Phoenix.
Oh, cut that out.
No, he's amazing. He's really good.
Yeah, leave it in though.
He's in this movie, Her, which is out at the moment, about an AI that he falls in love with. You know I love an AI.
Yeah, you do.
I don't love the movie AI though.
Mm. Do you love Bicentennial Man?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, great.
So, even though I know it's bad, I still kind of like it. It's rumoured... that he's wanted by Warner Brothers for the role of Lex Luthor in Batman vs. Superman.
Thumbs down.
Really?
Big potato head. Doesn't work.
Have you seen him with a shaven head?
No.
Have you seen him in a suit?
No, only Johnny Cash suit. Not the same. Western suit.
Do you remember that year where he lost his mind, pretended to, for a movie that nobody saw?
Yeah, I do remember that. That was great. He grew the big beard, and he just went on Tonight shows and just took a dump on the host desk or whatever he did. And then, I can't even remember the name of that film.
I'm Still Here?
I'm Not There? I'm Not There was
both
the...
Both of Us Are Here.
Yeah, no, but I'm Not There was the Bob Dylan biopic with Kate Blanchett and et cetera, et cetera.
And I'm Still Here is a John Resnick song, lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls for the movie Treasure Planet, which is an amazing movie.
What do you
movie?
Have that fact and no other facts? That is amazing.
I stayed up all night memorising that fact.
Great. Oh, for Christmas.
Yeah.
For the Christmas episode, I understand, sure. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we did for the Christmas episode. Treasure Planet / Goo Goo Dolls fact.
I think it's a good song.
That was great. Fantastic.
That's an underrated Disney movie as well, by the way. That's a good movie.
Should I watch it tomorrow or no?
No.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
So you really... I thought it was great. And you know why I thought it was great? Because I didn't think of it for one. And I like being surprised. I don't think of a lot of things.
Sure.
But when I heard it, I went... It's a little bit inspired in the sense that they didn't just go, who's a bald guy?
That's true, yeah.
They thought outside the box. Who's menacing... Who's got a lot of screen presence? Who's, a little bit hot?
What they probably did, though, is there's like an iPhone app where you take a photo of somebody and then it shows you what they'd look like bald. And they probably got like a Us Weekly magazine or whatever and took a photo of Joaquin Phoenix and they're like, oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, but you're against it because of his potato head.
I
think he's menacing enough. He's played a villain before.
He is menacing, you're right. You're right, he's got evil eyes.
He's got evil eyes, evil brows as well.
Okay, you've turned me around.
Good. Is that all?
Yeah, I think
I don't have anything else to say. I think it's cool.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay. Of course, that has to be taken with a grain of salt because there's other names that have been rumoured. Mark Strong, because he's bald.
Yep.
Bryan Cranston.
Bald.
Because he can be bald.
Yep.
And as recently as last week, they were talking Idris Elba and Denzel Washington. So who knows?
As a team.
As a team.
Hey, we're Lex Luthor. We're the Black Lex Luthor twins. Parallel universes? I don't know.
We don't look the same, but it's fine. Racist people can't tell. racism. Okay, in another piece of casting news.
If it was Idris Elba, that'd be two kind of... That'd be twice that he's gotten people up in arms for being...
Yeah.
For being just a black guy who gets a job in Hollywood.
I know, right?
Like, we're so mad that he... oh, no. We're so mad that a fictional character isn't how I imagine that fictional character to be.
Don't you reckon that he'd be a killer Lex Luthor?
He'd be really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we said that he wouldn't be, that would mean we're racist. Yeah. Also.
Dodge that bullet.
Okay, another piece of casting news. A true piece, locked in, fact.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel have confirmed Paul Rudd is Ant-Man.
That's great. I enjoy that a lot.
You cool with that?
Yes. I suppose it depends which Ant-Man it is. He's not going to be Hank Pym, is he?
They haven't announced that yet.
Because there's...
There's Scott Lang, Hank Pym, and...
And Eric O'Grady, who's the asshole one.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't he beat women or something? Is that what...
No, Hank Pym... beat up his wife once.
Okay.
I mean, a couple of times.
Why?
Because he's got problems.
Don't we all?
Yeah, but anyway, they're probably not going to use that. Oh, maybe they will, I don't know. But, anyway, we're against that. But, no, Eric O'Grady is the most recent one. Who had his own series for about 12 issues, which was called The Irredeemable Ant-Man. Oh. And he was like a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, like a low-ranking one who found... the Ant-Man, like an Ant-Man armor in S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters. Used it to, like, perv on women and like, steal stuff.
As we all would.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's sort of this, his journey into becoming sort of kind of a hero.
Okay.
Which I think, that would work with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's probably going to be Scott Lang.
Well,
because if Hank, who's creating Ultron in Age of Ultron?
They say Tony Stark.
Ah, then it could be Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd prefer Hank Pym, I think. Just go with the original.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Also, Pym's fun to say. Pym particles.
Now,
oh no, the Pym particles have escaped. Quickly retrieve the Pym particles. It's so vague. I love Pym particles because they're so vague.
You'll divide of powers.
Yeah, yeah. How does he rub them on his neck? Does he spray him in front of him and then leap through like he's putting on cologne? I don't know. He probably, I think it's one of those ones where they just keep it in their belt buckle. And yeah. He's like, I've got to be Ant-Man. I'll just push the release on my belt buckle.
And then,
yeah, and then pimp articles. I'm shrieking.
You know, like, you know what I hope they utilise as well, and it's Edgar Wright, so it probably will. I hope they go the other way where they show that he can be giant.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Because yeah. I think a lot of people aren't aware that he could do that also.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we'll see.
We will see.
Now, he apparently, there was a few other people in contention, rumoured. One of them, Simon Pegg, that was more of a rumour. Because
uh-huh,
there was that picture where he's pointing to. There's a picture that they took at Marvel headquarters. He was visiting Edgar Wright, and he's pointing to a picture of Ant-Man. And everyone, including me,
yep.
was convinced that he was Ant-Man or involved in Ant-Man. He still might be.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be Hank Pym.
Maybe.
Or maybe he'll be Doug Ray Scott.
Or maybe he'll be Idris Elba.
And the other one was Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which I could see also.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad they went with Paul Rudd. You know what's weird, though? They're going up with a lot of older actors. Paul Rudd's 44. Looks amazing.
Yeah.
So a lot of the Avengers cast, they're like mid-40s, a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, these young kids.
These kids.
Can't be responsible for superpowers.
I think the youngest must be Chris Hemsworth, who's technically the oldest in the Avengers.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool!
Any more news? That's a lot of casting news.
That's a lot of casting news.
Should we talk about casting?
I tell you what.
Yes.
I was thinking that.
Yep.
Comic book movies have a long history of casting. Are you familiar with that?
Casting, like, actors?
Yes.
Casting. To, like, play characters in the films?
Yes, yes.
Huh. Good fact to have.
I wanted to ask you, because I think you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Who do you think is the definitive...
Yes.
Perfect choice for a person role in...
It's J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
As J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
That's the best... It is the best one. Like, whatever... Like, you know, you'll see a character... You'll see a comic book character, and you're like, I wonder who would be great for that. And you see him on screen, and you're like, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Dead on. No matter what you think of J. Jonah Jameson, he's bloody nailed that.
Yeah.
He's nailed that role. And I mentioned the last time we talked about this, I want to see a J. Jonah Jameson film. It's 2 hours. It's just a shot of him sitting at his desk and he's just yelling at people that come in. And maybe there's like explosions behind him, like out the window. Maybe Spider-Man's fighting Dr. Octopus or Hobgoblin or something like that. It doesn't matter. It's never referred to. It's just him yelling at people and like maybe like knocking his phone off the computer off his desk because he doesn't understand it and then... That'd be great, right?
Yelling at his wife over the phone. Do you care whether it's set in the Tobey Maguire universe or the current universe?
No. It could even be set in the real world. It's just... Does it a lot. It's just yelling. It's fine.
I would see that forever.
So that's the greatest casting ever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in those movies, I think Tobey Maguire, terrible choice for Spider-Man.
I know you're not alone in thinking that.
Uh-huh.
Is it his mopiness?
It's mopiness... He's kind of like, he's got a, you know, chubby boy face, but he doesn't strike, he never at any point strikes me as a high school student.
No.
Just a chubby boy-faced man who's in a high school for some reason.
Even though Andrew Garfield was older than Tobey Maguire when he was in
maybe
his
it's
version.
The hair.
It might be the hair.
He's got great hair in that.
Does have great hair. He's still, Andrew Garfield definitely looks younger. But he's only a student in that very briefly.
Mm.
Or a high school student anyway. But yeah, it was a... I wouldn't say it would put it down so much to his performance as in some of the writing for that character. He's not very fun.
No, he's really not fun, yeah.
Uh-huh. Credit for him for working out like a mad dog for that movie.
Yep.
Like a mad dog.
Yep.
Yeah. Because he looked amazing.
Medicine balls.
Yeah.
Yep.
Medicine balls. Yeah. Well, that was Leonardo DiCaprio apparently wanted the role and a bunch of other people.
Oh, he's... No, not Leonardo DiCaprio. No. Not high school level. No, that would... I'd watch one scene of that.
You know,
I'd watch the Saturday Night Live sketch of that where Leonardo DiCaprio is the guest host. DiCaprio.
Sorry.
Fishman. You know, where he's pretending to be Spider-Man and it's... He's way too old for the role.
That would be
fun,
great.
But yeah. I would not watch him in that film.
I can tell you the exact point where Leonardo DiCaprio was stopped playing someone of school age.
Titanic?
No. The one where he was running away from Tom Hanks. Run, Tom Hanks, run.
Run, Tom Hanks, run, yeah. You'll never get me, Tom Hanks. I'm Leonardo DiCaprio.
Catch me again.
There we go.
I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
The movie.
The movie. Mm. Yeah, because there's a bit in that where he's a high school kid.
Oh, okay.
And,
right.
and that was pushing it. Because
right,
that
right.
was like 2004, which means he would have been... Late 20s, early 30s.
Mm.
But anyway, good on him. Good actor.
So yeah, what a series of contrasts.
I don't know. Look, he's too dour for Spider-Man, yes, though, Tobey Maguire, isn't he?
Yep.
He's too sad. He is too puffy-faced, you're right. And by the third one, he'd clearly just stopped working out.
Right, yeah.
Because he's a little... And then, you know, fine. Look whatever you want to look like. I don't care.
Blade 3 syndrome.
Blade 3 syndrome.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have an issue with that, but yeah, he's just... There's a lot of long sleeve shirts in that one.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's like, who cares? And Ryan Reynolds, you know what happened? Wesley Snipes probably started working out, and then Ryan Reynolds showed up on set, just like... Just a beefcake man, and then...
Like a statue of David.
Like a statue of David, and Wesley Snipes is like, you know what, forget it. Long sleeve black shirts, all of them.
Yeah.
I'll layer them.
What a jerk. I got a best and worst, though.
I'm ready.
Same movie, Spider-Man, original Spider-Man,
uh-huh.
For best.
Uh-huh. I think the first one was called Spider-Man, original Spider-Man.
I think Willem Dafoe is an excellent Green Goblin.
Yes, he is.
Even though the costume's not great.
Terrible costume, I was just thinking that today.
Yeah, but he is amazing.
Yep.
And I would even say, it's, what's the guy in the second one? Alfred Molonia?
Yep, that's the one.
That's also really good. But Willem Dafoe, what a great choice. He nails the dual characteristics.
Yep.
He's got that weird goblin head.
He's got a goblin head. See, exactly, they could have just had some sort of like... thin kind of membrane over his face,
yep.
And be like, that's for soldiers in battlefields and it protects against gas attacks or whatever.
Yep.
But they had to do robot face.
Well, the funny thing is, though, they actually tried an animatronic goblin face. And there's videos of it online, and it looks a lot like the original kind of 60s Green Goblin.
Uh-huh. Does it work?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it's only test footage.
Right.
It's interesting.
Hmm.
It's better than a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, that's true. Does it look like Willem Dafoe?
No, not in any way. But neither does a motorcycle helmet. Doesn't look like him either.
Good point also.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Mm.
What a great dude. And he pops up in the other movies as well.
Yeah,
just briefly in cameos.
Mm.
I think that would have... If that universe had have continued
to this
very day...
Yes.
As Tobey Maguire got wider and wider,
mm-hmm.
Then I think they would have brought him back.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, he's unkillable,
he's
essentially.
Always,
yeah.
He's always coming back.
Mm-hmm. But did you have another one there? Did you have a worst?
I got a worst one.
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is a pretty obvious one.
Uh-huh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mr. Freeze. Okay, that's all right.
Especially because, at that point, Heart of Ice had come out. The episode Heart of Ice from the Batman animated series.
Uh-huh.
That is like the definitive Mr. Freeze story.
Yeah.
And it's tragic and it reinvents the character and they steal a lot from that. And then they're just like...
Let's make it ridiculous though.
Yeah.
Because he does have the frozen wife.
He has
Batman
the frozen wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's got that motivation because he's stealing diamonds...
Yep, because it powers his freeze race.
Yeah,
sure. That Mr. Freeze is an interesting character because, like, in his original appearances, he was, I think he was Mr. Zero, and he was just like a...
Okay.
He was a zero cat. He was like this happy-go-lucky kind of... Like, he just had this cheery face, and he had this kind of orange and magenta outfit, and he just had a little... He had a little freezy gun that looked like a beekeeper's steam gun, and he just... Just hung around, just had some little adventures and stuff. And then they brought, because they needed villains for the Batman TV series.
Yeah.
And they just brought in
Well, they brought in Clock King, which they did really well.
So in the animated series, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they just, so he was just this nothing character until the animated series. And who knew that it would, an animated series would
now
bring
I think
actual he, character to a character?
Yeah. He's one of I think he's one of the best Batman villains.
Mm.
One of the most sympathetic, one of the most interesting. Great character in the Arkham games, or the
Definitely.
Second one in particular.
Mm.
I love beating that guy in the head. But you know what? What really annoyed me about that guy, and I know he's cold, but he's like, Batman, after you beat him up, he's like, Batman, they've taken my wife, find my wife. And I'm like, alright, I'm going to do this because I'm Batman.
Uh-huh.
I'm not really Batman in the game, I was Batman.
Correct, yes.
So I go and I find him, and it's a whole thing.
Yep.
And I come back.
It's a real ordeal.
It's a real ordeal. Took me a while. I come back and I'm like, here's your wife. Mr. Freeze is like, thank you, Batman. And he just turns back to his lab.
That's
and I'm
right.
like, you fucking prick. And if I could have killed him, I would have.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could have just punched his wife's head off, because she's frozen, right? Yeah.
What a jerk. You know, in the new 52 Batman,
uh-huh.
Some people say this changes for the worse. Some people say it's for the better. I'd say it's interesting regardless. Mr. Freeze is trying to thaw out his dead wife, or his frozen wife.
In a microwave. In a really big microwave. What a twist.
Bruce Wayne stops him and's like, you're fired. And so you're like, Bruce Wayne, what a prick.
Mm.
Bruce Wayne's the one responsible for Mr. Freeze going crazy. But it turns out that's not his wife. That's a woman frozen from, like, the 50s or 40s.
Uh-huh.
And he's just obsessed with her, and he's got it in his mind that she is his wife.
That's okay, that is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it makes him less sympathetic.
It makes him very less sympathetic. Yeah. And also, where did the frozen lady come from? I don't know. And that's kind of, they've kind of combined, because one of the clay faces in the comic books.
The first one?
The
one who's actually the actor, whatever.
No, the third one. The third one who has melty powers. I think he's dead now, doesn't matter. He was in love with, like, a mannequin.
Like the movie Mannequin?
Yeah, like in the movie Mannequin, sure.
With Kim Cattrall. Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall, yeah. Some of the changes in the new 52.
Kim Drug Cattrall.
That's the one. Some of the changes in the new 52, I don't know. I don't know if I care for them.
Yeah.
I don't feel as connected with this new 52.
Mm.
Like, because I grew up with Tim Drake as Robin.
Yep.
The third one. And now in the comic books, they've retconned it, so he was never Robin. He was always Red Robin.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't like it.
Don't care for it.
Like the costume.
Mm.
Don't like that twist.
Mm.
Mm. Where were we?
I don't know. Do you have somebody else who's good or bad?
Let me find one. Boy, let me... okay. Here's one for you.
Yep.
Best casting.
Yep.
Half of the Fantastic Four. Worst casting. The other half of the Fantastic Four.
Can I guess which?
Yes.
Chris Evans, obviously. Great choice.
Yep.
The Thing.
Yes, great those choice. Two.
Chickless.
Other two, awful. Chickless, incredible, great. Kind of rough, kind of tough, street smart.
Shit soup.
Yeah, rubbish, awful. Wow, just terrible. Come on, CGI that.
Yeah.
You're going to CGI nothing else.
I think that was the new one.
Chris Evans, quite versatile. Because when you think about it, then it's, you know, earnest, genuine Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Mm.
Smug prick.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely agree with that. Not good movies. Mm. Though I think we've said this before, the second one's not as bad. I think that's because...
Yeah, we were let down so badly by the first one. And then on the other hand, we got Ewan Griffin as just completely generic
Mr. Bad Fantastic. American accent.
Just, there's nothing to that. I mean, you can put the salt and pepper at his temples, but he's not.
No.
He's not Reed Richards at all.
Well, I think there's a reason why that guy didn't take off as a kind of leading man. Sam Worthington syndrome, yeah. And he's really, have you ever seen Hornblower?
Oh, yeah.
It's not as sexy as you'd think, as it sounds. But he's really good in that, and I think he's a good British actor.
Mm.
But as far as a mainstream kind of, they try to kind of push him as this kind of Clive Owen-y kind of guy.
Right.
But he's not. In any way.
Who would have been a better choice? As
Clive Owen.
Is Reed Richards?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, all right. Statham.
Oh, no. Statham is the Thing.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Bruce Willis is the Thing.
Yes.
Voice
off. That would work, yeah.
Because you could not get Bruce Willis in a rubber suit.
Absolutely, not even for a second.
What about Jessica Alba?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of people like,
was she not sexy enough?
She was certainly sexy.
Enough.
Yeah, enough. But I don't know, Not intellectual enough.
Yeah, fair point.
I kind of enjoy in the Fantastic Four, the contrast between Invisible Woman, Mr. Fantastic. They're the intellectuals of the team.
But she's more heart, he's more head.
Kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Not in the sexual way.
Right, sure.
Sorry. Didn't need to say that, did I?
Not at all. No. Edit that out. Keep it in. But then, again, generic.
Yeah.
Just, she was the it girl at the time.
Yep.
Throw her in the film. Weird.
Yeah. I got one.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No.
I've actually got here, funny you should mention that. Oh, no, I'll come back to that one next. Henry Cavill. Man of Steel, Superman. Despite what you may think of that film, and I've said this before, I know you love it, I like it quite a bit. A lot of people don't like it.
Haters. Haters on the internet.
He is an amazing choice.
Yep.
And he was from day one.
Mm-hmm,
he was nearly in, nearly got in the Superman Returns. There was a one before that I think McGee was doing that he nearly got it
McGee?
In.
McGee?
Where he's actually, there's a footage of him, not footage, there's a picture of him that just came online recently where he's wearing that suit. So so he went in for it, they put him in the suit and everything. But he looks very much more like Superboy.
Oh,
Superman.
I see.
Yeah. Because he would have been pretty young then, probably. Maybe 19, 20, maybe early 20s. But what a great choice, and just threw himself completely into it. The only thing I would say for him is they don't give him enough dialogue in Man of Steel. I don't think he's as defined a character as I would have liked him to be. He's kind of not vague in his motivations, but I would like to see him kind of more kind of, I don't know, talk about what he believes in and standing up for things and doing what's right. And
yep. I'm saving more dogs.
Yeah, saving more dogs. Exactly. Superman, he can be earnest. It's the same with Captain America. Captain America has proved it. You can be earnest without being a goof.
Right.
Not everyone needs to be your fucking wisecracking Robert Downey Jr. type.
Uh-huh.
Who does that very well.
Yeah.
But you
good
got
casting. Great casting. Let's not cover that again, but yeah. Just no, that is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Iron Man is practically the Robert Downey Jr. story when you think about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, he's got that kind of sincerity, and I hope they bring that to the second one.
Yes.
I think he's great. Mm. On the flip side of that,
ooh.
Even though I don't, I think this more comes down to the movie than him, but Brandon Routh is a weird choice because they just picked him. And they did just do this.
Because
he looks like Christopher Reeve. Right. He sounds like Christopher Reeve.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't pick somebody based on that. Because you basically, it's that movie is a love letter to the Richard Donner films.
Uh-huh. Probably shouldn't spend $275 million on a love letter. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Whatever it cost.
Yeah. So, again, I don't hate him. I think
it was $250 million on the movie and $250 million on the marketing.
That sounds right, yeah. And that was in 2006.
It's a lot of money for 2006.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I don't think he's bad in it.
No.
It's just a weird choice that you would just cast a guy who's exactly like Christopher Reeves, who also, what an amazing casting choice.
Mm.
There you go.
He's been good in other things.
I agree. I like him. Mm. He's good in Scott Pilgrim.
He's good in Dylan Dog, Dead of Night.
Not a good movie, but he's good in it.
Yep.
He's in Zack and Miri Make a Porno at the start.
Oh, yeah.
And he's quite funny. He seems like a funny guy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I like him. And I feel bad that he's not in more stuff
Let's
now.
Let's put him in a film. Once we get our Audible money from that Audible spot.
Yeah, when are they going to do that?
Who knows? But we'll put him in a movie once we get
sure.
that money. Yeah,
sure. I like him. And I follow him on Twitter. I like him.
Good.
But, you know, not his fault.
What does he do on Twitter?
Not much. Mostly talks about his new kid.
Ah, nice. Can I do one?
Of course
can
you can.
Casting choices?
Do it.
Okay, how about this? Best, just briefly, Nick Cage in Kick-Ass.
Yep.
As hip as Big Daddy.
Yep.
Great one.
Great
stuff. They tweaked the character from the comic books a little bit, but...
A lot.
Quite a lot.
Because in the comic books, he's not...
He's just an accountant. His wife
yeah.
left him.
Yeah.
Which... sort of turns into child abuse.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, let's throw my daughter into harm's way.
I like that better, though.
Yeah, it is fun.
Because it makes
yeah.
him crazier.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
and that would definitely fit with Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Crazier. worst, Nick Cage in Ghost Rider.
Which one?
The first one.
No, not the second one.
You know what? Only the first one, because the second one, you're like, well, Nick Cage is in this, let's just deal with it.
Yeah.
But the first one, because... At the start of that film, you see a young Johnny Blaze making a deal with Mephisto to sell his soul.
Yeah.
And that
so
guy,
handsome,
what have you, young, good looking, he would have been a better choice
yeah.
as Ghost Rider in that.
And then it cuts, flashes forward to...
Like washed up old
yeah,
Johnny Blaze. Yeah.
Melted candle Johnny Blaze.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got the dumbest looking wig
yep.
you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just
it's that weird painted on effect.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah, okay. Ooh.
And it looks like, I don't know, I don't even know what that hair is. Like, it doesn't suit his face, the hairline's all wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's just, wow, what were they thinking?
Yeah, yeah. And again, that you know what, those two films show the versatility of...
Yeah.
...of Nicolas Cage.
Crazy Nicolas Cage.
Have we discussed this on the podcast? We may have. If you remember, cut this out, but... people write in, don't write in. His Nicolas Cage's, you know, his choice of roles.
Yeah,
Is there a method to that madness? I wonder. Like, because he works a lot. He does a lot of films.
He does.
Probably because he's got crazy spending habits.
Yeah.
Like he outbid Leonardo DiCaprio on a dinosaur skull once. I think maybe that's made up. I don't know.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Too, yeah.
But you know, I think his casting process must be. Like, every 3 or 4 months, his agent comes into his house, right? And he's just got a big stack of scripts, and he's like, okay, Nicolas Cage, here's...
Put down the dinosaur skull.
Put down the dinosaur skull, first of all. Here's, okay, we got an action film, we got a sci-fi film, we got, like a quirky kind of independent kind of adaptation-style film. You can have a supporting role in, like, this Oscar bait film, whatever. And then Nicolas Cage just walks over and he grabs the first one off the pile and just goes, that one. Whatever that is, I'll do it.
Yeah, I guess that's it. But you know what? I think the only reason I would say there might be some method to his madness
uh-huh.
is because it's like 4 or 5 shit films in a row.
Uh-huh.
entertaining nonetheless, yeah. usually. Well, he is. And then an amazing performance.
Mm.
And then everyone goes, oh, no, he's back.
Right.
Like, he's not back. Just wait. Wait one film. And then it's four or five shit films in a row. Right. And he's back.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah. So I think in that sense, he's smart enough to know, I'm just going to do a bunch of schlock for a bit of cash,
yep.
take a bit of a pay cut.
Buy some paleontological remains yeah. of some sort.
Make the weatherman.
Yep, precisely.
Or that's probably not a good example.
The family man.
The family man, yeah. And then, you know, yeah, that's what I think his process is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's smarter than people give him credit for. I think he's crazy.
Definitely.
But, you know.
As an Oscar winner, he's certainly made better choices than, say, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh my God, yeah.
Has he ever made a good film?
Okay, he was in Pearl Harbor.
No,
he was in Daddy Day Camp.
Oh yeah, good point. I retract my entire argument. He's not been in a good film since.
I just watched Don John with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is a great movie.
He's in that.
Briefly, he's in a clip of a made up film within the movie. Does make sense?
Yeah.
So I guess he's in that.
Right.
It's like a 3 second clip.
Fantastic. Dice Clay's in that, right? Andrew Dice Clay.
Not that I've seen.
In Don John.
No, you're thinking of who's the boss?
Tony Danza.
Tony Danza.
I'm pretty sure Dice Clay's in that.
I think you're thinking of a different movie because Dice Clay just did apparently turn in some amazing performance.
Huh.
And I can't remember what it's in.
There you go.
Yeah. I got one for you.
Dice Clay news. Yes.
Dice Clay.
What do you got?
I had another thing that linked from the Nicolas Cage thing. Ah, maybe I'll
think. Is it that he's crazy? Is it something to do with him being crazy? Dinosaur skulls.
Dinosaur skulls. I've got Chris
Evans. Come back to it if you.
I will. Mm-hmm. I'll come back.
Okay.
Chris Evans as Captain America. I know we just briefly talked about this.
Uh-huh.
When he got cast,
yep.
I wasn't worried for one reason. Even though a lot of people didn't see this movie, he's in Sunshine.
Yep, okay.
Which is probably my favourite movie of all time.
Wow, big call.
At least top
five. Is that a Danny Boyle film?
It's a Danny Boyle film. I think it's Danny Boyle's strongest film, and it tanked. But I think it's amazing. Even though it becomes like a kind of a...
I mean, it's a documentary about sunshine, and people yes, are really not interested in that. Like, it's a docudrama about the guy who discovered sunshine, the scientist.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's, for those who haven't seen it, it's basically about this team who go to the sun to basically restart it because the sun is dying.
Mm.
And it sounds dumb, but it's got an amazing international cast. It's a really solid sci-fi film. And Chris Evans plays this kind of American, I can't remember what his particular job is on the mission, but he's kind of keeps everyone
His job is to get the stick. And put it in the, like, big bit of wood and just sort of swizzle it between his hands and get the spark going. That was his job in the film.
Yeah. And everybody else...
And then the stick flies off into space and they're like, no! And they have to retrieve the stick.
And everybody else in the movie's like, oh, we got to do what's the right thing, you know, we shouldn't kill anybody or whatever. And Chris Evans is like, no, fuck it. The sun is dying.
Yeah,
everyone's going to die. He's the guy who's like, we got to do this no matter what. And he's incredible in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they're like, Chris Evans is Captain America. And I went, yes. Because he is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
Then that movie proves it. And also Captain America proves it. Because he plays it earnestly.
Yep.
He worked out like a mad dog.
Absolutely.
And it's great.
Mm.
I mean, maybe not so much towards the end, but he's great.
Yeah, definitely.
So, there you go.
Mm.
I like that character. Who would have thought that Captain America would play as well as it did? Because I know they changed the name in the United Kingdom to the First Avenger, because I know in the UK he's a bit of a joke.
Huh.
And but
he's really... no Captain Britain, certainly. Do you think they?
Now that's a joke.
That's yeah.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
Hang on. I'm trying to think of some iconic British superheroes.
The Avengers, but not the Avengers. The Avengers.
Not superheroes. Doesn't count. The Leopard of Lime Street. That's a real one. How do you like that? How do you like that, Paul?
I've never heard of him.
There you go.
What about the V for Vendetta guy?
V.
Yeah.
Not really a superhero.
Nah.
There's
a lot of supervillains.
Yeah, there really are, yeah. I know, I mean, I don't mean villains with British accents. I mean, like, British created.
Yeah. Oh, Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd, there we go. Yeah, okay, best.
I don't want to talk about
Carl Urban.
You son of a bitch.
Carl Urban, I snagged you on. Yeah. Carl Urban, Judge Dredd. Yeah. Worst one, Sylvester Stallone.
God
Judge
damn it,
Dredd.
I had this written down here.
I just wrote it like 2 minutes ago. Oh, okay. How do you like that?
All right, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Carl Urban, what do you think?
Good. You know what? It's a testament to someone who can just act with the lower half of their face.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not earth-shaking acting.
No.
Or by any means. But he realized that the major draw card of Judge Dredd is he doesn't take the mask off. Yeah. He doesn't take the helmet off at any point.
The ego didn't enter
yeah,
into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
uh-huh. They weren't like, we've got to show his face because everyone wants to see Carl Urban.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
Almost Human, I've said this before. Great show. Mm-hmm. Great sci-fi show about AI.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, he's really well cast in that movie.
Then that movie does have a lot of the slow-mo effects. They, yeah. They're really great.
And it plays for a good reason. Because a lot of slow-mo is done for no reason.
Uh-huh.
And that makes a lot of sense, because it's
like
a drug.
Like if you're on, a motorcycle spinning around and you've got four guns in your hands.
Doves flying into your face.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Great choice. Mm. Sylvester Stallone, on the other hand, what a prick.
Oh, that's right, you hate him.
Yeah.
From several minutes ago, you just told me you hated him.
Look, he's good at that particular thing that he does.
I kind of like that
But
Judge
he pissed
Dredd
away
film.
His career.
Because it's so ridiculous. Like, when I saw the trailer for the most recent Dredd, mm. I was against it because that universe sort of looks... It's not crazy sci-fi enough.
No.
But then, having watched it, it does make perfect sense. Like, there shouldn't be hover cars and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
In this, because there's been a nuclear war. And why do you need hover cars if your factories can already make just pickup trucks? Just keep making pickup trucks.
Like, exactly,
you,
yeah.
It does make perfect sense when you think about it.
Yeah.
But I do definitely have a soft spot for the insane mega city one, though. It's filled with freaks and flying cars.
It is a very funny movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's not good.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I think, I remember I heard...
It's got Mean Machine in it.
Mean Machine.
The guy with the dial on his head. It's got an ABC warrior, which was like the giant robot guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whose name I can't
mutants,
recall. Yeah,
he fights like a metal thing stapled to his head.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
He spends most of the movie without the mask on. I think it's like 8 or 10 minutes in, he takes the mask off.
Oh, and Amanda Santé's in that.
Amanda Santé, who's insane in that movie,
uh-huh.
But in a good way. They're brothers in it or whatever.
They're, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What a great movie.
Great.
Best casting. Yeah, I heard an interview with Mark Kermode. You know, he's a British film... Reviewer. He's great. It's probably my favourite film.
Mark Kermode, did you say?
Kermode, yeah.
The Toilet? Is that his,
like
is that
the
his nickname? Yeah, great.
He's the best. I love him. Great podcast as well. Everyone should listen to it. Kermode and Mayo. Podcast. Anyway, or maybe Kermode, which I think is still the same.
Yeah.
But he basically said he interviewed Stallone once in a car park about Judge Dredd, and they were talking about White.
Were they about to fight? Is that why? He broke a pool cue over his head and he's like, gets him out in the cup parking lot. And then he's like, hey, can I interview about Judge Dredd before you beat me up?
You know what annoys me also
about... Before you inject some horse human growth hormone or whatever and fight me in a car park?
You know what also annoys me about Stallone, more so than Schwarzenegger, he thinks he's an actual legitimate tough guy.
Ah.
And that annoys me. I know, he's very muscular
and whatever.
Do you
remember when he got busted for trying to smuggle human
yes.
growth hormone into Australia?
He did.
So weird. Why would, you can't be without it for 2 weeks? Come on.
I doubt he was even here for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it annoys me when people like that, like Seagal is the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably a little bit Van Damme.
But he's a lawman.
That's
it's not true.
That's true. Where they think they're legitimate tough guys.
Right.
And it just annoys me because if you put that guy, and I'm not a tough guy, so I'm not, this isn't coming from me going, I could beat him up because I definitely couldn't. My point is, 90% of the male population could beat up Stallone.
Right.
And he's under the impression that that's not the case.
Oh, I see, right.
Anyway, in this fight car park...
So if you are 90% of the population of, say, America, just all go to his house and beat him up.
Did I say male population as well? I'd say a lot of that is female population.
Probably too, yeah.
Good as well.
Thank you.
Just to clear the air there. Anyway, in the car park, and Stallone said, yeah, the problem was, when I came on set and I had the suit on and the mask, the problem with that movie was nobody laughed. Like, none of the cast laughed. So he clearly didn't understand the character.
Right.
Judge Dredd isn't supposed to be funny.
Not
that, not in that way. Not like, what a wacky costume.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. He's meant to
I know it's satirical and
Well, he is a... What's weird is he's supposed to be an American character who is a satire of the fascism of Thatcher's Britain, which
yeah.
is, you know, an odd place to start from, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do have a soft spot for that film, but he's not.
No.
Yeah. Great in that.
Rob Schneider's in it as well.
What?
Or Roy Schneider.
Yeah. Or Roy Scheider, just fighting sharks all day.
Yeah.
Sequest ASV.
I used to love that show.
Yeah, and then they went to space.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Look, Mark Hamill was in that briefly as well.
We have diverged, so... This is just us saying things now.
Talking dolphin in that as well.
Okay. There is, if you haven't seen it, I think it's called Minty.
I haven't seen it, but I know
it's
about.
It's a Judge Dredd short film featuring, you know, minor character Judge Minty as he goes sort of in the Dredd universe. When you're a judge, for various reasons, you can take the long walk, which is you leave the mega city and you go out into the cursed earth, and you just spend the short remains of your life just fighting mutants. And it's a short film about that. And
is it like an honourable thing, honourable way to go out, or whatever? Cool.
Yeah. So, and it's a short film about that, and it looks really fantastic, and it's quite good. So it's sort of a midpoint between the original Judge Dredd film and the new one.
Okay.
Like he's got the sort of the classic judge outfit on.
Yeah.
It's more on the new Dredd.
Well, that movie tanked, unfortunately, as well.
It did, so there'd probably be no sequels.
Well,
it's apparently
sold pretty well on Blu-ray, and there's petitions online for it to come back, but I don't think it will.
Maybe there'll be a Thomas Jane-esque Punisher Dirty Laundry
great.
5-minute short film.
Yes!
With Carl Urban in it.
That'd be awesome.
Can we talk about Punisher?
Yeah.
Great casting. Ray Stevenson as the Punisher.
Yep.
Looks fantastic in Punisher Warzone. But I don't have much to say about that. No, but, I don't have a worst for there.
No Thomas Jane?
He's still good.
But you think Ray Stevenson is
Ray Stevenson has the look. Mm. He has the kind of the Punisher Max.
No, 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 no.
He's got the
Sorry,
look.
We've done that before.
Yep. He's, just that, I don't know, just that tough edge. He looks like an old guy who's been just murdering the mafia for a long time. And I think that's great, yeah.
Yeah, he is good. And he's in, he's Volstagg.
In the Thor films, totally.
Okay, I got one on the flip side of that then.
Okay.
Now, I don't know whether this
Vin
is...
Vin Diesel as the pacifier. Is that what you're going to say?
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Moving on. Now, my next one, I don't know whether this is miscast or I just think this movie is terrible. Mm. I think it's a bit of both. Everything and Everyone...
Loves Raymond. Oh.
In League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, no, that's just a terrible film. Hang on, maybe somebody's good in that. Nope, everybody's bad in that, you're right. Yep.
Like the guy who played Tom Sawyer, Sean Connery. I don't even know if that's miscast, but I think it's more that he doesn't seem to know what is happening.
Correct.
Last movie he ever did, and I think I've said this before, the only reason he did it is because he turned down The Matrix because he didn't understand it. He turned down Lord of the Rings because he didn't understand it, and he didn't understand League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but he thought, you know what, I'm not missing that again. And then he retired immediately after.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, there you go. I think that might just be that I hate that movie, though.
Yeah, I think that's probably it, yeah.
You got one?
Ah, let me think. Ron Perlman in Hellboy.
Ah, I had that
right
too.
One. Yeah.
I also had with Ron Perlman, Doug Jones as Abe Sapien.
Yep.
Jeffrey Tambor
voice
as well.
Voice of, I forgot about that. Yeah, he's fantastic in that, yeah.
Yeah.
And voice of Abe Sapien, what's his face? It was Doug Jones in the sequel, but in the original it was Frasier's brother.
Frasier's brother.
There we
David
go.
Hyde Pierce.
David Hyde Pierce, there we go. Yeah. Yep, okay, good. We're tying it together again.
Yeah.
Seinfeld's happening again. Yep.
Great movie cast.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Selma Blair, I guess, as well, you know. She's a good choice.
It's fine. Take it or leave it. It's fine. Jessica Alba, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, great choices there. Ron Perlman. And you'd think they would have picked a Ron Perlman because he's nearly 60 now.
I think he's 60.
Oh, he's 60 now. Yeah. There you go. And
or more, or less.
Or exactly.
Ages ain't nothing but a number, man. You know, you're only as old as you feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ron Perlman probably feels pretty old.
Well, he says it's really taxing doing those movies because he's wearing, you know,
and he's probably
50 pounds of prosthetics.
And he's always probably listening to one side because one of his hands is giant.
You know, recently, actually, he put all that makeup on again recently.
I think I know where this is going.
Ah, yeah. To visit a kid in hospital.
Yeah.
Which I love.
That's pretty
good. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Never see Stallone put on his Judge Dredd hat.
Never.
And go in.
Never see him put on his Expendables little beret thing, do you, eh? You might.
Yeah. You know, Stallone also hates comic book movies, and he's like, they're not real action stars. Bleh. He said that before.
Shut up, Stallone.
Yeah.
I'm really beginning to hate this guy. Maybe it's your influence, I don't know.
I think it is.
I thought he was a stand-up guy until this point.
Yeah. Prick.
Great Demolition Man, though.
What a great movie.
Yep.
Yeah, perfect casting.
Mm-hmm.
I got one on the flip side.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, are you ready or am I ready?
I'm ready.
You go.
I'm ready to listen.
Okay, good. This is actually auto-corrected on my iPad. It says, Gopher Grace.
Fantastic.
Obviously, Topher Grace as Venom.
I think he would have made a better Peter Parker.
Yeah, a better than Tobey Maguire's.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fair point.
I mean, remove evil from the equation.
I never can. You can't. That's the problem with the world.
Yep, you're right. Wow.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll pay that.
I would have preferred... Because I think they wanted someone who was physically similar to Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel Venom needs a bigger guy. Because Eddie Brock in the comics is always, like, bodybuilder style.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. And I know Tobey Grace did say he put on muscle for whatever, whatever. But it doesn't really show.
No. He didn't work out like a mad dog, certainly.
You know, for Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire had a back injury. And there was an old money kind of dispute or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So they basically said to him, you're out. Gyllenhaal, you're in.
Oh,
Maggie
yeah.
Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal. And then Tobey Maguire, no, I'm back.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal would have been a better Spider-Man.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey,
mm.
We'll never know that.
We'll never know, that's true.
Nah. Yeah, so yeah, go for Grace, not a good Venom.
Not at all. Although he did have the teeth.
Have you got any more?
Who do I have? Let's see, who did that one?
I mean, you've got your classic. You've got obviously your Heath Ledgers, your Patrick
Stewart. That is the best cast. Yeah. That is we've said this, I won't go over it again, but yeah. That is the best casting in a comic book movie ever, I think.
Fair point.
Best villainous performance ever, I think.
And I called that at the time.
No,
and
you didn't.
No, I said great choice.
Yeah, right.
Because he's an amazing actor.
You say so many things that... It doesn't.
I wasn't doing videos then.
Oh, okay.
You just can't prove it.
So there's no proof. Okay, fantastic.
But he'd just done Brokeback Mountain and he was just... He'd done a kind of bunch of middling films. Mm-hmm. Like, I like A Knight's Tale. That's a good movie and whatever. Uh-huh. He's done a bunch of kind of stuff like that.
Yep.
And then he did Brokeback Mountain. I can't remember something else. And then it was kind of like, wow, this guy can really act. Mm-hmm. Dark Knight, dead. So,
yeah,
travesty.
That's a shame.
But yeah, yeah. Amazing choice.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. I've got one more.
Yep.
It's a bad one.
Yep.
Jennifer Garner, Elektra. I mean, again, probably because we hate... The film is not great.
Did we see that at the movies?
Must have done.
Mm.
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 I mean, I enjoy work in many things.
Sure.
She was great in Alias. That was fun.
Suddenly 30.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. That movie with the terrorism.
Terrorism?
Yeah, terrorism.
Oh, the one with Jamie Foxx.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good movie.
Yeah, but anyway, not Greek. I think that's pretty much what it boils down to. Lecture should probably Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nachios.
Nachios, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Good point. I got one for good.
Okay.
Gary Oldman, Commissioner Gordon.
Good. Fantastic.
Got the moustache.
Uh-huh.
Got the pistachios.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
He's got all that. Term.
Yeah, it is. Nuts.
Yep.
Yeah. yeah, great Commissioner Gordon. He would fit into any Batman universe. Like, if you made a more comic booky kind of Batman universe, Commissioner Gordon is always grounded, always a guy, always a gruff kind of mustachio.
Would you
gentleman.
Watch a film
yep.
where Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon is doing a press conference and J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson is in the press pool, right, because all his reporters have called in sick for some reason and he's really annoyed that he has to go out into the field and interview Gary Oldman. And it's just a back and forth fight between the two. How good would that be? I'd watch that.
That would be amazing. Are you kidding me?
And then there's, you know what? That, and it ends with, you know what? There's a series of scuffles. It's 2 hours long and there's a series of scuffles throughout the film.
Definitely.
I would watch that.
Greatest movie ever made.
Definitely.
That's the best reason to cross over anything ever.
I think so.
You know one of the best crossover comics, not relevant, that you gave to me once? The Batman versus Predator comic. The first one
was really good.
Amazing.
The next few, awful.
Yeah. There's a Superman one which sucks.
Yeah. The best intercompany crossover ever, I think. It's DC. It's Marvel and Archie comics.
Okay.
The Punisher meets Archie.
That's not real.
No, it's a real thing. It's an actual real thing.
What year?
Mid to late 90s, I think.
What?
Okay, basically, the Punisher is searching for a villain who looks a lot like Archie Andrews. And so he gets a hot lead and he ends up in Riverdale where he has to track down this villain at the Riverdale prom. And it's great because nobody is out of character at any point. Like, the Punisher is the Punisher and Archie is happy-go-lucky Archie in Riverdale and they team up, sort of... And it's the best.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing, yeah.
So
get that on your app.
I bloody will.
Get that on your comic. Get it on your app. Yeah.
I was going to say about the Batman thing just quickly. What I love about it, the Predator goes after the Batman because the Batman is the greatest, whatever, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, Batman just beats him to death with a baseball bat.
That's a really good point. That is good old American know-how.
Yeah, because he can't because he's an alien, so the rule doesn't apply. So he's like, so he can kill him, it's fine.
He doesn't kill him, though.
Doesn't he kill him?
He pulps him a lot. And then he, if you recall, he wins and there's like, the Predator admits defeat.
And doesn't explode himself?
He doesn't, because then the remaining Predators come down from space.
And they're like, okay, break it up. And break it up, boys.
They hand the Predator like a ceremonial sword and the Predator kills himself with
that. That's right.
And then they present Batman with the ceremonial sword, which he puts in the Batcave.
Batman should have just killed them all.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah.
Great crossover.
Mm.
All right, I got one more for bad.
Okay, I'm ready. Better be real bad.
It's so bad.
Fantastic.
Chris O'Donnell as Robin, and I'll tell you why.
Shaved head.
Fine, whatever.
Yep.
At the time that movie came out, and I looked this up, guess how old Christopher Robin, Chris O'Donnell was?
I don't know how.
25. Batman adopted a grown man.
Yeah, that's very odd, isn't it? Yeah.
And I know they probably wanted to get away from the whole, it's weird if Batman adopts a kid. It's weirder if he adopts a 25-year-old man.
It's very odd, and also they're the same height, pretty much.
Yeah.
Especially in the second.
And build.
Height and build.
Chris O'Donnell may even be bigger.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Clooney, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Clooney's not a good choice there either. I mean, he's charismatic, but he's not Bruce Wayne charismatic.
Nah.
There's no edge to him at all.
No. Nah.
He's just a genial kind of...
But I think in the right movie, Clooney would be a good Batman.
Yeah, maybe,
A good older Batman. What's the one that he came out recently where his wife's in a coma? Can't remember. He's great.
Mm. I was going to say, when I was growing up, I always thought that American children were much bigger than Australian children. And that's because all American TV and movies, you had sort of high school age characters being played by like 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
And so I was always terrified. I was terrified that Americans would come over here and beat us all up. Like they just send their children.
Yeah. I mean, you've got that at school. You've got that one giant kid
who
looks like he's 25, but everyone else looks like a goon until they're like 23.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That's very true, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They even still do that now.
Mm.
How old was Tom Welling when he did Smallville? He must have been mid to late 20s.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Weird.
Fantastic.
Okay, I've got a couple ones here that I've just kind of listed here.
Okay, right.
Heath Ledger, talked about.
Yep.
Patrick Stewart, great choice, I think.
Yep.
It's kind of like the default kind of course it's Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, it was just, he's a bald guy.
He's a bald guy, sure. Robert Downey Jr. Christopher Reeves.
I think it's great. Christopher Reeve. I wasn't going to correct you earlier, but...
He's one of my heroes!
You're not the first one to make that mistake, though.
He's one of my heroes, and I was really sad when he died. Him, Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, Greg Kinnear.
Not true, not dead.
No, not true. I do like Greg Kinnear, but those three are my heroes, dead.
Yeah.
And, what's his name? The blonde guy. Robert Redford, still alive.
The blonde guy.
The blonde guy. Really happy that he's not dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
I got a couple bad ones here as well.
Okay, I'm ready.
These are kind of default. Halle Berry as Catwoman. I haven't
seen... Storm.
Slash Storm.
Slash anything else.
Yeah, you don't like her Storm?
No, that...
I'm indifferent.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But the Catwoman, I didn't see it, but... that's probably more a bad movie than her,
being particularly
bad. And the other one is, and I can't believe you didn't bring this up, Shaq. As Steel.
I see, I haven't seen it. I can't pass judgment. Maybe it's great.
Let's end on that then.
Fantastic.
On that question we'll never know the answer to. Now, last week there was a comment on my on one of my YouTube videos.
Mr. Sunday Movies,
that's right, which you found super amusing. So I thought maybe we could introduce a new section called The Craziest Lunatic.
Fantastic.
No, just like an amusing or insane comment.
Because
most
for
of
it.
The stuff.
But see, I don't want people to just comment.
You're right. Because so much.
You know what, folks? No competition. If we have a look at one, and for the record, I'm not going to look at any comments. But if one happens to crop up.
Every now and then, we might.
We might bring one in. Yeah. But I can tell. If you come out and you say, oh, the aliens are imparting thoughts in my brain, lizard men. I'll know.
Yeah.
I'm good at that.
Yeah.
I'm good at the internet.
You're great at the internet.
So don't try and trick me.
Yeah. And it's kind of a shame that we'd focus on the crazy and the lunatics then. So many nice comments, so many genuinely insightful things. And I'm just like, this guy's a lunatic.
We should probably say it though, because he's a lunatic.
Yeah, okay. So this was from, should I say his name?
Nah.
All right. This is from Green Minded. Two words.
Okay, fantastic.
That's his name.
Okay.
Or his YouTube name. This is about my video, Is Gal Gadot a Good Choice for Wonder Woman? Which is a clip of us talking about that.
Yeah. And the result was, we're indifferent, I think. I can't remember what we said, but probably.
Okay,
here we go. Probably going to be great.
They should stick to Megan Fox because, B-C-O-Z. Should I just read it as is?
Yes, please.
Okay. They should stick to... Oh, riddled with... no grammar, by the way. Okay. They should stick to Megan Fox because her body is perfect. Perfect for bikini costume... Gal Gadot should drink 60 gallon of horse semen protein mix. 60 gallon of horse semen protein mixed with condensed milk and 20 gallon of bodybuilder's semen to gain weight. And sex exercise. And sex is in capitals.
Fantastic. Well, why wouldn't it be? Otherwise, we might misunderstand that. That's amazing. That's a lot of semen from various sources. To what end? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Is he saying that she would...
She? We don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I apologise.
Yeah.
They're saying that then they would be worthy of the role?
Or they bulk up, I think.
With
that's
semen.
The idea. Yeah.
With a lot of semen.
As all bodybuilders do.
Does that work? Just curious, asking for a friend? Does that work at all? I don't...
It's 100% accurate.
Anyway, then... congratulations to you, green-minded. You've won... our comment of the week or something.
Let's not make this a regular thing.
It's not going to be a regular thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
That'll do it, eh?
Fantastic.
Now, next week, we might record this one a little bit earlier and then release it around New Year's because I'm going away.
Ooh.
I think, are you going away?
I'm
or are you
going,
dying?
Yeah, I'm dying. So this will be the last one, but it's going to be great.
So we're going to do our best and worst movies of the year.
Fantastic.
Go through all the big blockbusters. We've done all the comic book movie ones.
Are they good? Are they Oscar contenders? Have I seen them at all? It's a mystery what will happen next week on the podcast.
The main reason I want to do it is because I want to rant about Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay, good. Yeah. Haven't you done enough, mate?
I have. That is easily... I put that video up about Star Trek Into Darkness not being good. And I got 150,000 views. It's easily,
oh, I see what this is. You're chasing your achievement.
I must be.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's easily, it's clearly something that people were passionate about.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the director of Star, not the director, one of the writers from Star Trek Into Darkness, he went on a Star Trek forum to defend the film and said something like, this is why you idiots aren't writing films and I am. And he went on this whole tirade about how we're wrong because it made the most money ever and he rejuvenated the franchise.
Huh.
And we're idiots.
We are idiots, though.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if the general consensus is your thing is not very good,
yeah,
it's probably not.
I liked it, whatever, man.
No, I think as a film, it works.
Yep.
As a Star Trek film, it is horse semen.
Wow, how many gallons?
20.
Yeah,
bulk you right up.
That's a lot of semen.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to tell you why later.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Well, where can they find us
up until
this point?
On Gmail, Facebook, Twitter. Weekly Planet Pod.
Love it.
Mine is Mr. Sunday Movies.
Mine's at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Hit us up. Getting a lot of nice comments lately.
Thank you very much.
Getting a lot of downloads.
So yeah. Well, folks, have a merry holiday season. Whatever you do, whatever non-denominational or non-denominational thing you do.
Yes.
Gonna be pretty good. Anyway, fantastic. Thanks for listening, folks. Yeah, have a good holiday season.
Take care. Look after yourselves.
Hey, I'm just gonna step out the door for. Hey, wait a second. If we were in here recording the podcast, like I left some milk and cookies on the couch. If we were in here recording the podcast, who had all the milk?
Ho 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 ho!
Oh my
goodness!
It's real. Oh, Merry Christmas, folks.
Merry Christmas.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.